Hi, and welcome to the Well Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion on books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Anne.
And we are librarians with the Beaufort County Library in South Carolina. And this week, we are going to discuss our favorite reads of 2015.
Big end of the year show.
Big end of the year show. It's actually posting on Christmas Day, but I'm guessing most people will not be listening to this on Christmas Day.
Yeah, do something different with that day. Don't listen to us.
So we thought that in the last week of the year, it would be a good idea to go over what some of our favorite books are. And Anne, when you put together your list, did you do the books that you enjoyed the most or the books that you thought had the most value or were the best written? How did you put together your list?
I think I did kind of a mashup of those. So some of the books that I put really high, I would not say are literary books, but they're, I just loved them. I loved reading them. I loved every moment of reading them. But at the same time, I don't want to say that a book that I think was a really important book wouldn't be just as high up there. So you almost want to make two different lists,
right?
And say these are the books that I think should win awards, and then these are the books I just loved reading, right? So I don't know, I think everyone sort of struggles with that. At least a librarian struggles
librarians
with that.
Right. Well, but that's always my issue on Goodreads, because I keep track of all my books on Goodreads, and I rate them. There's a 5-star rating system, and I rate them just for my own benefit really more than anything else, and I struggle with that in rating as well. Like, you know, there are books that I can admire for many reasons but don't necessarily love or enjoy, and then but I struggle with how to rate it because I know it's a good book, but then personally maybe I didn't connect with it. So I sort of went through the same thing. I ended up going basically with 10 books that I just really loved.
Oh, so you don't have your books ranked?
Oh, right, there. Mine are not in any sort of an order. It was just I kind of, as I thought of, as they popped into my head as I went through. First, I went just what popped into my head as my favorites of the year. And so those were the first few. And then everything else was pretty much, I went through the list of everything I read and cherry picked out the ones that I thought was best. So yeah, no order. What about you?
I tried at first to do an order. And then I thought, since a lot of these are books that I've talked about already on the show, and I don't want to rehash the entire plot for every single one of them, I also didn't want to have all the books that I had talked about in one clump.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, mine might be all in one clump. Sorry, guys. It's possible.
I'm sure it'll be okay. So and some things were the same genre, and so I tried to spread those out a little bit just so it wouldn't be a bunch of ghost books all together.
So. Yes, I did none of that thinking ahead of time, so I have no idea how mine are going to play out.
And this is why I was up until
3:30. This is why I grew up until 3:30 in the morning. And we do, spoiler alert, one of our books, favorite books of the year, is the same book.
It's very exciting.
I have that one as my last book, just so you know. Okay. So you don't do it half time.
Okay, so all right. I'll switch that around. All right, so do you want to start? Tell me your first favorite of the year.
So the first book I'll talk about is called Half a King by Joe Abercrombie. And this is the beginning of the Shattered Sea trilogy, and it came out in 2014. It's an epic fantasy, which is the same type of genre as Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. So if you're a fan of those things, you would probably like this book. And the plot is about Prince Jarvi, who is the youngest son of the King of Letland, and he was born crippled. And so he's always from birth been groomed for the ministry, which is kind of a religious slash advisory position in the kingdom. And then unexpectedly, he becomes the king when his father and his older brother are murdered in an ambush. So he must rule this kingdom and avenge his family, but he's also dealing with the prejudice and hostility from the nobility, who see him as half a king because of his deformity. And there's a pretty big plot twist early on, so I won't really say anything else about the story. But I would categorize this as epic adventure. I'm not really into that genre at all. And epic fantasy isn't my thing, but this sort of has a Viking feel to it, and I really like Vikings, so that helped me to get into this world. And it's also not really based on magic. There's a past to this world that you sort of understand had a magical past, but they don't deal with that at all in the book. So it's it just has a different feel than anything I've ever read. And so I think because I wasn't expecting to really like it, I got into it really quickly, it just sort of blew me away. So that's what made it one of my favorites of the year. It has really great character development. Jarvi is a character that that's kind of complicated, and you can't decide whether you like him or you don't. And it has great pacing. It has a great tone. The author knows when to do humor at the right times and to have these harrowing descriptions of peril at other times. And it was just such a huge surprise to me that I I just loved it. So
I'm sorry, did you say, is it part of a series or is it a standalone?
It's the first in a trilogy. So I think the second one came out this year, and then I'm guessing the third next year. So that is Half a King by Joe Abercrombie.
My first one is one I have talked about on the podcast before. It's The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. It was in episode number 5, our Tearjerkers episode. And this was, if I had to rank a favorite of the year, I think this would probably top the list. It is about two sisters in France during World War II, and they both play a role in the French Resistance. I just thought, and I went over and over this in the Tearjerkers episode, so I don't really need to say much more than that, but it really, like I was saying before about books not connecting, this really connected. It was a story that I felt totally immersed in, and when it finished I kept thinking about the characters, and it still really has stuck with me. I read it, I think, back in February or March before it was ever released, and there are still parts of it that I vividly remember. Oh, so that's always a sign of a good book. Yeah. So that's The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah.
I still haven't read that one. Don't hate me. My next book is Best Boy by Eli Gottlieb, and I talked about this in episode 8, which was actually our back to school episode, but it was the book I was reading that week. And short synopsis is about an autistic man named Todd who's living in an assisted living community, and it's about his attempts to get back to his childhood home and to recapture the feeling he had when he was with his beloved mother. And I love this because it's the kind of book that actually manages to make me feel things, and it has a message that everyone has value, and that's legitimately moving to read about. And I think that the descriptions of his relationship with his mother and her love for him were just some of the most beautiful things that I read this year. So I thought it was really remarkable. I loved it. And that was Best Boy by Eli Gottlieb.
I remember when you talked about it in the episode, I left that day thinking, oh, I've got to go read that. And then just fell out of my head. So now you're reiterating, I do need to read that book.
Yeah.
It sounds like something I would love. My next one is another one I've talked about previously on the podcast, Circling the Sun by Paula McLean. I talked about this one in episode number 5, same as before, The Nightingale, which was tearjerkers, but this was also what I was reading this week. So this is not a tearjerker. It's about Beryl Markham, who was a very unconventional woman. She grew up in Africa and was the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. It's a real person, but this is fictional. And again, I said I think everything I need to say about it when I spoke about it in that episode, but it would make a great book club pick. It was one that as soon as I read it, I thought this has so much to talk about. And I think that that's prime fodder for discussion when these are real people that you're dealing with in real lives and real decisions. So that is Circling the Sun by Paula McLean.
My next book is The Martian by Andy Weir. And Hallie actually talked about this in episode 3, which was Page to Screen. And I read it in anticipation of the movie coming out in the fall. And the plot is familiar to everyone. It's an astronaut that's accidentally left on Mars and has to find a way home. So this one is another that really surprised me, and I actually gave it 5 stars on Goodreads, which is unheard of for me with a sci-fi book. But I loved it because it's packed full of science while also making that science completely unnecessary to the plot. So there are tons of descriptions of hard science facts, but then the author also super pares those down so that anyone can understand the root of the problem. And so you just know, okay, this is what he has to do. I don't need to pay attention to why all these things have to happen to do that, but I really understand what is going to happen here. And the tone is so fun. There's so many laugh out loud parts to it, and I wasn't expecting that because sci-fi is not like that usually. So at least for me, I'm sure there's lots of people listening that are thinking of examples that disprove that, but the ending had my heart racing in ways that never really happens for me when I'm reading a book. It's usually when you're watching a movie that you find yourself on the edge of your seat and that your heart rate is that high. And this was it was very cinematic reading, which is really fun.
Yes. So did you see the movie?
Yes.
Was it, how did that compare to the book?
The same like excitement feel. I thought the tone wasn't quite right in the movie. I don't know, Matt Damon seemed a little too, have more gravitas, I guess, than I wanted him to have, because the guy in the book is just a goofball.
Yeah, so. And he's a total smart aleck.
Right. And so it didn't quite hit that note for me, but I think if you hadn't read the book, then the humorous tone in the movie would have been just fine. So I just wanted more. I think I wanted Chris Pratt to be the...
he would have been awesome!
Yeah, that's who I was kind of picturing.
Right,
he would have been awesome. So Matt Damon just didn't seem exactly what I wanted, but he still did a good job. It just...
All right. Say the title again.
That's The Martian by Andy Weir.
All right. My next one is Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. And Anne discussed this in episode number 12, which was Ordinary People, Extraordinary Lives. And I think, again, we both said all we needed to say about this. This is the one book that I said, if anybody read a book that we have talked about in the podcast throughout the last 6 months that we've been doing it, this would be the one I would pick. It is about a man who has devoted his life as a lawyer to people on death row and children in prison for their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very important book to read. I think this is one that fell on both on the scale of really, I don't know if enjoying is the right word, but I felt
you can't put it down. Either.
You couldn't put it down. Right. Yeah. So I don't know, again, very immersive experience, right. But then also a very important book. And so that is Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson.
My fourth book is Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg. And I talked about this during episode 7, which was our fall book preview. It's about a woman named June who loses her entire family in one night in a big fire. And so she leaves town and goes on a sort of aimless cross-country road trip. Mm-hmm. And the book shifts perspectives to many people that are touched by the tragedy in major and minor ways. And this one stood out to me because the writing I thought was really evocative of the stillness that you feel when you're numb from tragedy. And so it's really spare, and I thought that was really well done. But then it also sort of builds to a plot reveal by the end, and so that drives everything forward. I liked that it showed how people can create disaster even when they have the best of intentions, but that people can also help each other heal in these really subtle ways afterwards. So it was just a really, not heartwarming at all book, but still one that sort of made me think and made me have feelings. So those are something I need to pay more attention to, I think, sometimes when I'm just reading like fluff
right.
series.
So, yes. I think that's shown up on a lot of best of the year lists
I think so
that
too.
I've seen.
Yeah. So that was Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg.
All right. So my next one is If You Only Knew by Kristen Higgins. And I was absolutely positive. I have talked about this book before on the podcast, but when I looked back in the archive, it was not listed. So I'm just going to pretend I didn't talk about it, but I'm so sure that I did at some point. I could have sworn it was what I was reading that week one time. But
I don't describe it and I'll tell you
because you do a very good job of keeping track of what we talk about.
So. At least I try.
So. You do. So, all right. This is Kristen Higgins is a romance author and has a very popular romance author. And this was, she veered away from the traditional romance into more of a women's fiction book. So less focused on the romance and more on the women's lives and choices. It's about two sisters and they're both at a crossroads. Jenny is divorced and she's trying to figure out what her future holds. She's still very close with her ex-husband and in some ways maybe too close because it's not allowing her to move forward with her life because he's remarried. And so they're all kind of acting like they're best friends as the threesome, but she's questioning whether that's the best for her mental and emotional health to be in such a close relationship with them. And then Rachel is the other sister and she is married with children and she discovers her husband has been having an affair. And even though in her mind, she knows that previously she would have said, oh, that's it, you know, end of relationship, move on. There's also part of her that's thinking, well, wait, now we have a family and maybe there are things that you can forgive. You don't know until you're in the situation of exactly what the details are. So she's going through that sort of thing in her head of what do I do now? Do I break up my entire family because of maybe just one mistake or can I forgive him? And so they both are trying to figure out what it means to be happy and what it means to create a life that you appreciate and that is fulfilling for you. And I just thought it was a really interesting look at love and forgiveness and letting go. And also, you and I both have sisters. We've talked about our sisters before. It's a really good look at the bond between sisters.
Oh, nice.
Through all of the good times and the bad times and how they can support you at times of your life. So that is If You Only Knew by Kristen Higgins.
I don't know that you've talked about that.
When I looked back, it was not listed, but I'm so surprised. I'm glad I didn't because this was a good opportunity to talk about it, but I'm really surprised because it was one of my favorite books of the year. So I'm surprised it didn't come up at some point.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Yeah. My next book is Slate House by David Mitchell. And this is one I talked about in episode 13 of Book Club Picks, but this was actually what I had read that week. It's 5 linked short stories about a house that only appears to people on the last Saturday of October every 9 years. So it's not so much scary as a haunting book, I would say. And usually haunted house books are really plot driven, but David Mitchell is able to make these characters feel fully formed. And so the stories aren't just horrifying, but deeply sad instead. And the first story in particular is something that's really stayed with me in the weeks since I've read this. So it's a very short read, but I would definitely pick this up. I wrote in my review on Goodreads that this is a haunted house book that also breaks your heart. Oh. And I think that someone else could have written this book and just told the story, but he has these little small points that to me have really stayed with me. So I loved it on multiple levels, and that's kind of a nice thing to find out. Mm-hmm. And that is Slate House by David Mitchell.
All right, my next one is another one I have not talked about previously. It's Descent by Tim Johnston. And I read this all the way back in January. And again, like I talked about for The Nightingale, there are scenes from this book that have really stuck in my head. It is about the Cortland family and they're vacationing in the Rocky Mountains when their 18-year-old daughter goes missing. She goes for a run in the mountains and never comes back. So it's a thriller as they look for her and the reader comes to understand what happened leading up to her disappearance and then afterwards. But it's also sort of literary because it looks at the grieving process that the family is going through and how they each deal with it. There's the parents and then there's a brother to the brother to the sister, younger brother. And so it's how they each deal with it in their own ways of her loss. And one of the parents stays there and keeps looking for her and won't let it go. And then the other one goes back because... I think it's the mother. I'm pretty sure it's the mother goes back because she thinks you have to kind of move on.
Yeah.
And so it's an interest. It has both elements that are really good. I thought that it doesn't sacrifice one for the other. It doesn't sacrifice plot for that meditation on grief and loss and those sorts of things. But then there's also a really thrilling plot that goes along with it because she has gone missing. So I really loved it. It's called Descent by Tim Johnston.
I've heard such good things about that book and I've seen the cover looks terrifying.
Yes.
And I had just thought it was a thriller. So that's really interesting to find out that there's more to it than, I mean, I'm okay with it being just a thriller too.
Yeah, but. Right. Because it's a page turner, but then it's also got some heft to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are fun.
Yes.
So my next book is City of Brick and Shadow by Tim Workus. And this is the book that I've probably talked about the most this year. And I think my friends and family are really sick of me trying to push it on them all the time because I always am like, read this book so we can talk about it. I need someone else to discuss it with me. So it's about two Mormon missionaries who are working in a tough Latin American neighborhood named Villa Barbosa. And we're not told exactly where this is in South America, but it's a scary place that they're working. So they have a new convert that they've been teaching named Marco Aurelio, and he goes missing. And one of the missionaries decides that they're going to find him, even though this will break pretty much every mission rule that they're living with. So as they investigate, they become aware of this kind of mythical person called the Argentine who has a terrifying hold over this neighborhood. So I loved that the author trusts the reader to take on a lot with this book. He never stops to explain any of the Mormon lingo or Latin American cultural elements. He just expects that the reader will figure it out as they're going along. So the book never drags with any explanation of anything. And I also love that it's a mystery that's kind of more of a character study. And that I was looking at Goodreads reviews last night and I read this as a advanced reading copy. And at the time everyone that reviewed it had like 5-star reviews. And then I looked again last night and the rating had dropped quite a bit. And a lot of people were not happy with sort of the direction that the book takes at the end. But I loved that. Mm-hmm. I thought that there were all kinds of interesting things to think about in the end. And so I also really thought it was fascinating that despite the fact that this revolves around a religious congregation, it's not about religion at all. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of unusual to see. It seems like if religion is discussed in a book, it's either a pro or against stance on it. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it just exists as part of the story. So if anyone reads this book, just hit me up with an email because I want to talk about it with everyone. So I just loved it. And it's called City of Brick and Shadow by Tim Workus.
I don't think you've talked. I mean, I've never heard you talk about that. So
not on the podcast.
No, but in general, like we've never.
I was saving it for best of the year. I legitimately was.
Like, so. Don't want to ruin the impact of the best of the year.
I love this book so much. Oh, incidentally, one of my good friends is friends with the author. And we just happened to say, like, he said, I read a book that my friend wrote and named the name of it. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is one of my favorite books of the year. And so he texted his friend and said, my friend in South Carolina that's a librarian is pushing your book like crazy. And so he was all excited. So it was this fun little small world
that
sort of moment.
Awesome.
So it was good.
Maybe he's listening now.
Ooh, dare to dream.
All right. My next one is Pretty Baby by Mary Kubica. How do you think you say that? Kubica?
Sure.
And it's about a woman named Heidi who lives in Chicago with her husband and daughter. And she is very giving. She works for a nonprofit. She's always trying to give money to charitable causes. And she sees a girl who is seemingly homeless. She's a teenager on the L platform in the rain. And the girl has a baby. And they, at that point, when Heidi sees her, she loses track of her in the rain and with the train and stuff, but then tries to track her down because she can't get her out of her head that this young girl was with the baby in the pouring rain and looks like she has nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And so she tracks her down and offers to help her by bringing her back to their home to live with them for a few days until she can get on her feet, which her husband is very against. She's like, he says to his wife, you have no idea who this girl is.
Right.
You don't know her history. But the woman just is very drawn to helping her. And so I don't want to say too much more because I think it's better if you go into it really not knowing much about the story. But it is told from three perspectives, which I love. It's told from the wife's perspective, Heidi, and then her husband's perspective, and then Willow, who is the young homeless girl. And so as the story unfolds, you learn more about what has brought Willow to the situation she's in with the baby, mm-hmm. and also more about Heidi and her past and then her husband. And so it's not all is what it seems when you first start the book. And I just thought it was really tense and riveting. It was one of those books that I just couldn't stop turning mm-hmm. the pages to find out what happened next. And that's Pretty Baby by Mary Kubica.
So does this fall under like psychological suspense?
I would say, yeah, like
a
psychological
thriller.
Yeah, like a psychological thriller. Yeah. Yes. Because it's, I mean, there's a hint of a mystery because you're not exactly sure what brought Willow to the situation she's in. Uh-huh. But it's more just the tension of, are these people really who they say they are? And are their mm-hmm. intentions good? And there's a past that's a little murky. So stuff like that.
That sounds awesome.
It's so good.
So my next book is Codename Verity by Elizabeth Wien. And I talked about this in episode 12, which was Ordinary People, Extraordinary Lives. And it's a confession that's written by a captured World War II spy named Verity, and she's forced to reveal the secrets of the British war effort to the Gestapo, but then it turns into this moving portrait of friendship. And I loved this because it reminds me of the sacrifices that people make in war, whether they're working as soldiers or they're regular people that are trying to help their country. And it also is one of my favorite depictions of female friendship. And mm-hmm. so I always want to send this to all of my friends and write, like, we're best friends on the cover or something.
Yeah,
so, yeah, like it just kind of reminds you of everything that makes you love your friends and the things that friends do for each other. Sometimes very dramatic things. And, yeah. and this is just a great book. I met the author at a, not a conference, but a, I don't know.
What do you call that?
Yeah.
Gallfest.
What do you yeah. call that? It was a fun author meet thing. So who knows what you call it. And I told her about how much I love this book and how we had talked about it on the podcast. And she was such a lovely woman and just had so many nice things to say about the writing process and loved the how much people identify with this in terms of their friendships. And it was just a delight. Plus, she gave me a toy airplane.
Oh,
it was so cute.
She did?
Yeah.
Is she British or American?
American, but lives in Scotland.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And she did a panel on strong women in YA and I just thought she was great. So thanks, Elizabeth Wien.
Title?
Codename Verity.
My next one is one I have talked about before. I just talked about it in episode 14, so just a couple episodes ago, called A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab. I talked about actually the sequel to this book in our winter book preview, but I really described this book because I couldn't talk about the sequel without
right.
giving stuff from this book
right.
away.
And I thanked you for it, and
yes.
I thank you again.
So this one was probably my biggest surprise of the year, much like your first
oh, really?
Book. Yeah, because I wasn't really sure what to expect when I picked it up. I mm-hmm. just thought it sounded like an interesting premise. There are parallel worlds where magic plays a role in some of the magic plays a role in all of the worlds, either by its absence or by its presence, mm-hmm. I should say. But I just wasn't really sure if it was going to be my thing. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I finished it and immediately looked up when the sequel was coming out because I didn't think I could wait for it. And I just was blown away by the world building that she does with, because it's very believable that magical worlds exist. And the characters are really interesting and complex. And then the story was just a fast paced, fun adventure kind of a story. Yeah. Not fun is the wrong word because there's some violence there. But that is A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab.
My next book is The Little Stranger by Sarah Waters. And this is one I talked about in episode 11 for Spooky Reads for Halloween. And I think it was the book I was reading that week. I don't think I'd finished it when we had that episode. So, but anyway, it fit in with the theme that week. And it could be a straightforward historical fiction novel about World War II class anxiety in Great Britain, but then it becomes a spooky ghost story that's also an allegory, and I loved it. This might be my, I don't know if I want to say this is my favorite of the year, but it might be my favorite of the year.
I won't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. It has a few edge of your seat creepy moments, but it builds more into a sense of dread that I found to be really delicious Halloween reading. It was fun. I had my mom read this shortly after I read it, and I said the author had given an interview where she talked about that people always question her about this book and what it meant in the end, and that they don't feel like it was clear enough of sort of the answer to the book, and she felt like she was very clear, and I thought she was very clear. And so I said to my mom, tell me what you think. And then in the middle of the night, she texted me back, so I woke up to this message that's just this one line message of what she thought was going on, and it just I won't tell you, but it cracked me up so much that she felt the need in the middle of the night to tell me this is the answer. Everyone's stupid.
Obviously, yeah. This is what the ending means.
My mom is very spare in her texting, so it just is funny whenever she does that. So anyway, that was A Little Stranger by Sarah Waters.
My next one, I think, is my only YA book on my whole list.
I thought the same thing, that this is a very YA light
list. Whoa. Well, and I read, we're going to do our next episode will be reading resolutions. But I really did read fewer YA books this year than I think any previous year, and on purpose. What I selected for my YA books, I really tried to be reading what sounded interesting to me and not just what was like on the shelf.
Right,
you know,
right.
There was kind of a glut a few years ago of the post-apocalyptic kind of dystopian society books, and I got a little burnt out on those. So I was really trying to select teen books that I thought I would like. And this was I'll Meet You There by Heather Demetrios, and obviously it made my best of the year list. It is about a girl named Skylar Evans, and she's just finished high school, and she is salivating at the prospect of getting out of her really small town to go to art school in San Francisco. And then it's all takes place over a summer between graduation and then the start of the new school year. She's working at a motel to make some money for school because her mom is a single mom. They don't have a lot of money, and so she's really going to have to support herself. And then there is a 19-year-old named Josh who also is working at the motel. And Skylar and Josh went to high school together, but he's 2 years older. And when he graduated, he went into the Marines, and due to an explosion, he lost his leg. And so now he is back home trying to figure out. He's kind of like big man on campus, kind of a jerk athlete, not the nicest guy when he was in high school. And now he has come back to the small town with a whole new perspective on life because he is not sure what his future holds. He has lost his leg. He's trying to come to terms with that and he's kind of withdrawn and has some PTSD. And so just trying to figure out what's next for him. And they form a bond, and they're really drawn together, and it makes them both question what the future holds because of their relationship. And I really just enjoyed watching their story unfold. It seemed very realistic to me. I think she painted both the uncertainty of when you've graduated and you're ready to kind of burst out into the real world, with that still feeling like a little bit of a child not sure your place. So I thought she did that very realistically. And then I thought I would don't have any experience with this, but I really think she did a good job with the Josh character of what that would be like to come back home after having left thinking one thing was your future and then having a devastating loss like that where his whole life changed and how you deal with that. And so that is I'll Meet You There by Heather Demetrios.
Cool. I was surprised when I finished this list that I didn't have as much YA, but I read a lot of YA because I'm in a bunch of YA book clubs, and I think that there was a lot of stuff I liked this year, but nothing that I loved.
That's how I was. And I there were a couple actually that I sort of debated between to put on my list. Mm-hmm. There are two or three that I really was like, well, they were all really good, but this one I selected because it really kind of stood out among the rest.
Very cool. My next book is The Luminaries by Eleanor Catton. And this won the Booker Prize in 2013, and it's a serious book commitment.
Oh,
it's
yes.
very long and it's very complex. So it's set in New Zealand in 1866, and it begins with a young man named Walter Moody arriving in a mining town to seek his fortune. And he inadvertently disrupts a group of 12 men who are conducting a secret meeting to discuss a series of unexplained events in the town. So those include a wealthy man that has disappeared, a prostitute who has tried to commit suicide, and a large fortune that's been discovered in the possession of the town drunk. And I can't really say anything else about it because it's just such a sprawling book. The book is kind of based on the Zodiac in a lot of ways. And in the end, you feel like you have to read it again immediately to see how it all sort of fit together. And the writing is done in a very antiquated way. So, but in a way that I love. I thought it was really appealing. So it's sort of like, it feels like reading a Dickens novel a lot of the time, both in the writing style and in the sense that you sort of don't know how everything really fits together until the very end, which always kind of drove me nuts about Dickens, but I like more as an adult, I think. And this is one of those books that makes you marvel at how an author can craft something like this, and honestly made me feel completely inadequate. And I thought, what have I done with my life? Okay. Absolutely nothing.
All right, because she's pretty young, too.
I think she was like 25 that. When right, she wrote yeah. this.
Of
so
course.
I'm a failure.
Hang up your hat.
Yep.
Forget it.
This is it.
So,
this is one that we actually read for my mystery book club, and
really?
It was suggested by one of the members, and she said it's a mystery, and then I don't know if it, I'd say there's a mystery to it. I don't know that I would call it a mystery book, but it was really fun to talk about and really fascinating to talk about in the book club, and very controversial for lots of its members. Yeah. So I just thought this is one where I just can't stop thinking about how someone can make something like this. So yeah, I it's a good like winter's night read where you just sort of have to burrow down and get into it. So it's called Luminaries by Eleanor Catton.
I'm surprised that was selected as a book club book because it's so long.
Yeah, and normally we don't do that, but the woman that suggested it, everyone said, yeah, I'll go for it. And then it was funny, the person that was the most excited to read it hated it completely. And so that's why it was so controversial, right. Because it had been built up so much and he felt very let down by it. So
It won
the Booker in 2013. Yeah. So yeah, it's I really liked it. I thought it was great.
All right. So my next one is a romance novel. Of course, you knew we couldn't get through the whole list without a romance novel. And I really wasn't sure which one to select. It's called This Heart of Mine by Susan Elizabeth Phillips. And I fell down a total rabbit hole of Susan Elizabeth Phillips books this summer because she's one of the queens of like comedic romance, contemporary romance. And so I kept seeing her on lists of recommendations for if you wanted some funny romance books. And I had just never, I think I'd picked up one of her books a couple of years ago and wasn't thrilled with it. So I just let it go. And then for some reason over the summer, I decided, well, I'll try one again. And then that was it. I read like 10 of them in
oh my gosh,
a month or something. I mean, I just couldn't put them down. But this one was my favorite, I think. It's part of the Chicago Stars series. She writes a couple of different series where they're interconnected, but you definitely don't have to read them in order. It's just characters make appearances in books, but you don't have to read them in order. And it's about a fictional football team from Chicago. And the owner of the team is named Phoebe. And this is about Phoebe's sister, Molly, who is a struggling children's author. And growing up, she always had a crush on the quarterback of the team because her sister owned the team, so she was around. And then one night, by coincidence, they both end up at the vacation home of the owner of the team.
Hmm.
You have to kind of... Some of the setups in Susan Elizabeth Phillips are a little bit wacky. Like, you just kind of have to go with it to get to the actual...
A romance novel that has wacky setups?
Don't knock it. But for me personally, they're a little bit out of the realm of possibility. But once you kind of get past that setup, they're so fun and they're so enjoyable. And this one was... So they end up at the... Kevin is the character's name who's the quarterback. And then Molly is the children's author. And they end up at this vacation home for a couple of days. And have this one night together.
Ooh.
Yes. And then go their separate ways, basically. Mm-hmm. But then some stuff happens. It brings them back together again. And they don't really like each other all that much, but they're thrown together. And much of the book takes place at, like, summer camp for adults. Like, not summer camp for, it's not a summer camp for adults. That's not what it is. It's like a lake community. At, like, a lake community where there are a bunch of people there for a week. And so you get to know all these quirky characters uh-huh. that are staying there, as well as Molly and Kevin, as they try to work out what's going on. And so, like I said, it could be a little bit preposterous of how these couples come together, but the books are so entertaining and all consuming for me that you just, mm-hmm. you don't even care about those things.
Yeah.
It's just fun to sit there and read them. They were the perfect reads for the summer. Like, ooh. Sit by the pool or go to the beach and read them. It was just so much fun. And that's This Heart of Mine by Susan Elizabeth Phillips.
I may read that. We'll see.
We'll see.
So my last book is, and also your last
my
book.
My last book as well.
We decided not to arm wrestle this time, that
we
would just share as adults.
Share it as
do.
Our best book.
Yeah. It's The Royal We by Heather Cox and Jessica Morgan. And I'm not going to lie, this is the most enjoyable book of the year for me.
I have a couple on my list that are the most, this is up there though.
Yeah.
This, yeah. Total.
Like unadulterated
pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with some real life stuff that goes on, not just fluff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. So if you're aware of the authors, they're the creators of the Go Fug Yourself fashion blog, which is one of the smartest and funniest blogs out there. And it takes that same wit and applies it to the Prince William and Kate Middleton story. It imagines or reimagines Kate as an American named Rebecca, and she's nicknamed Bex in the book, who's doing a study abroad at Oxford, and she falls into this unexpected friendship with Nick, who is the second in line for the British throne. And the friendship blossoms into romance, but there are built-in issues with this relationship since Bex is both a commoner and an American. And the book also, probably the most enjoyable part, I would say, or one of the most enjoyable parts, is that it also incorporates Prince Harry and Pipple Middleton into the book, who incidentally are now dating, apparently.
Well, is that true?
I don't know.
It was like on okay. But this, I don't know if that's true.
But when I read that, I was like, that's just like
that's
the
just
book.
The book.
Oh my
gosh.
So that was fun. And so they're incorporated into the story in really key ways. And the plot kind of revolves a lot of the time around them. So I thought, Hallie may have different opinions on this, but I felt like it incorporated the best parts of Chick Lit for me, which are sort of the gossipy moments in a fast-paced city.
Yeah.
And then it pulls that into a realistic feeling relationship, because mm-hmm. even though it's a fairy tale in a lot of ways, there isn't a bad guy in the issues in the relationship. It's just two people that are trying to navigate this crazy difficult situation mm-hmm. that they found themselves in. And I literally never wanted to put this down.
Yeah.
I think I even asked for the book, like the physical book, for Christmas, and I thought I could immediately pick that up again.
I know, I keep wanting to reread it.
So much fun.
So much fun.
And so smart, and so like there are many laugh out loud parts and but without being goofy, really.
Right.
So,
and then I texted them, or not texted, like I'm friends with the fuckers. Just pick up my phone and text them. Yeah. I tweeted at them uh-huh. that it made me cry one day at work while I was eating my lunch. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I will tell you after we finish recording what part it was, but I was, which was so unexpected. I just thought it was going to be all fun fairy tale.
Right, right.
And I thought that there were some moments that were really heart tugging
too. Oh, I would agree.
And I
that.
Thought what they did a really excellent job was showing how. I think that as an outsider, you think whoever the monarch is just gets to choose who their husband or wife is
going
to be. And it's really a choice on both sides, because she had to give up a lot mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah, it isn't
just. She loved him, but she really had to think to herself, like, is this the life that I want?
Right.
Because it's not your life to direct anymore.
Right.
It's all about what other people put on you. So, yeah, I just loved it. I loved it.
And I thought that it was fun to see sort of the behind the scenes grooming aspects.
Oh yeah, they did
a
whole lot of research. So.
So much fun. If you haven't read this, it's so much fun. It's just a great book.
We're hoping for a sequel.
Ooh, I would love
that. And it's been optioned for a movie with Lauren Graham as the director, something, and then Mae Whitman as Bex. I know.
My heart just grew like 15 sizes.
It was a big day of news for Lauren Graham. It was the same day they
announced. Oh, yeah.
No,
I remember you sent me. Yeah, yes. You sent me that. But I forgot about that aspect of it and the casting side of it.
Yeah.
It's like I'm getting good news all over again.
It's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. All right, so that wraps up our best of the year for 2015 list, and we will be right back with what we're reading this week. And what are you reading this week?
I sort of have to apologize because I feel like every week I'm reading a YA novel, and that's because
that's okay. I went through my streak of chick lit.
Yeah. Right now I'm in the middle of one of my book clubs is a group that tries to predict what the Prince Award winner will be, and we're like in the thick of it right now. So a lot of the things that I'm reading from week to week are YA that are. I just then push down the throats of our listeners. So this one is called Dumplin' by Julie Murphy.
Oh, yeah. I've
heard. Yeah, it's getting it. Yeah. Really good reviews. It's about a girl named Willow Dean Dixon, and she is a self-proclaimed fat girl. Her mother is a former beauty queen, and she's always trying to push weight loss programs on Willow, but she's very comfortable in her own skin. And she loves Dolly Parton more than anything in the world. And she sees her as this role model that inspires Willow to be full of confidence. And that's really served her well through her whole life. I think she's 17, I want to say, in the book. And she's never had a problem with confidence at all. But then she starts working at a fast food restaurant and meets this hot guy named Beau. And she is attracted to him, but he also seems to be romantically interested in her, which really surprises Willow. And instead of embracing this, Willow starts to lose her confidence because she keeps imagining what bullies will say to them, that they won't accept their relationship and that she'll just become this kind of walking target for ridicule. Instead of trying to pursue something and deal with that, she backs away and sort of retreats into herself. And she doesn't like this. This is completely contrary to what she's grown up feeling about herself. So in order to get her confidence back, she decides to do the most horrifying thing that she can imagine, which is to enter the yearly beauty pageant in her small Texas town. And her mother actually runs the beauty pageant. So this has been a huge part of her life that she's just, but sort of a side thing in her life where she's had to deal with this without ever participating in it. So this pageant is a big deal. This is sort of the event of the year in this town. So her mom, when she enters, thinks that she's doing this as a joke and she doesn't support her at all. So Willow actually decides to join forces with the other social rejects of her high school, and they all enter together, and they sort of use their friendship to navigate these turbulent waters of beauty pageants and big hair and talent competitions and all the things that come with a small town beauty pageant. I thought it was a really empowering book to read because when you read a lot of YA, it seems like every book is really focused on beautiful girls. Mm-hmm. So even though the girls can be strong and resourceful, there's always this focus on how beautiful they are, that's like an extra layer of virtue for them. And I think that can be really alienating to regular girls and regular women that are reading this book. That how do you relate to that when they obviously embody things that you want to aspire to, but then there's just this thing that they have that you don't necessarily have yourself. So it was kind of refreshing to see a romantic lead that wasn't a model, essentially. This is getting a lot of buzz for Prince Award things, and I've just seen all good stuff about it. So I really enjoyed it. I just finished it recently, so... that is Dumplin' by Julie Murphy.
All right. And I read this week Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter. I just finished it. Ooh, the weekend.
I've heard such good things about
it's
this.
So good.
This is the first time I've ever read Karen Slaughter. She's a very popular mystery thriller writer, and she's always on the bestseller list.
Right.
And I don't know why, I just had never picked her up before. In fact, I think she writes a couple of series, and so I think maybe that's what got
right.
me away.
Yeah, me too.
There are these long-running series, and so of course, as we've talked about before, I'd have to start at the beginning,
yes.
And so I think it was just intimidating. But this one's a standalone, so anybody could pick this up. It's not part of a series. It's about two sisters named Claire and Lydia, and they don't speak. Their lives couldn't be more different. Claire is married to a multimillionaire and lives a glamorous life. And Lydia is a single mom who struggles to make ends meet and is dating an ex-con. And 20 years ago, their sister went missing, and they never found out why. And that's part of the reason that they don't speak anymore, although there is a situation with Claire's husband and Lydia that's really the reason that they don't talk. And now Claire's husband has been stabbed in an alley and died.
Oh,
and
sad.
Claire calls Lydia because she needs her sister. After all this time, she needs her sister's help. And then they're also going on at the same time. There is another young girl missing. They live in somewhere in Atlanta. This girl has gone missing. And so it's bringing up a lot of their same questions and feelings from the time their sister went missing, but they're also trying to figure out what happened to Claire's husband, why it happened to him. And there's all sorts of secrets going on. In fact, in about the middle of the book, there was a point where legitimately my jaw dropped because I was reading and I was even thinking to myself, it was like right smack dab in the middle. And I thought, this kind of seems like they're figuring all the stuff out and they're solving everything that needs to be solved. And then all of a sudden it was the end of a chapter and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. And then of course that like leads it on a whole new trajectory for the remainder of the book. And it's just really stellar suspense. It's, if you like suspense at all, I would highly recommend this book. It's called Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter.
Yeah, that has been getting a lot of buzz too. And she's sort of a huge name in suspense. It seems like I should read her.
Right. But like I said, I think it's a serious thing. That
me away. I agree.
All right. So do we want to go over and talk about all the books we listed
today? So this is our top 10 of our favorite books of the year, which is monumental.
Drum roll, please.
So my favorite books of the year were Half a King by Joe Abercrombie, Best Boy by Eli Gottlieb, The Martian by Andy Weir, Did You Ever Have a Family by Bill Clegg, Slade House by David Mitchell, City of Brick and Shadow by Tim Workus, Codename Verity by Elizabeth Wien, The Little Stranger by Sarah Waters, The Luminaries by Eleanor Catton, The Royal We by Heather Cox and Jessica Morgan, and what I read this week was Dumplin' by Julie Murphy.
And my favorites of the year were The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah, Circling the Sun by Paula McLean, Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson, If You Only Knew by Kristen Higgins, Descent by Tim Johnston, Pretty Baby by Mary Kubica, A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab, I'll Meet You There by Heather Demetrios, This Heart of Mine by Susan Elizabeth Phillips, and then The Royal We, our joint favorite. And then what I'm reading this week is Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter. If you want to get in touch with us to give us feedback or a suggestion on a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at wellreadpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or your other podcast provider of choice. Our podcast is engineered by Adam Farver. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. We keep our show notes at BeaufortCountyLibrary.org/wellread, where you can find a listing of every book we talked about in this episode. If you'd like a book recommendation list tailored specifically for you, please go to BeaufortCountyLibrary.org/mynextbook. Take a brief survey on what type of books you like. You'll need a BCL library card in order to use the service. Thank you all for listening and happy reading. And let us know what your favorites of the year were.
And happy new year.
And happy new year.